101.7 The Truth, 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. Are your finances low, your mindset off track, or are you ready to get into real estate? Tune in to The Journey with Coach Erica every first and third Saturday from 11 a.m. to noon on 101.7 The Truth. It's all about mindset, money, and real estate, helping you take the next step toward building a better future. What's up, Milwaukee? It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. Shout out to the chat. What's up, Jazz West? Thank you so much for tapping in today. If you are just now joining us, I am talking about the federal lawsuit, civil rights lawsuit that has been pushed against Milwaukee public school system based on reporting over the past 2 years of over 100 instances to where Black students were treated unfairly when it comes to being expelled and suspended in comparison to their peers, their white peers. And I was given an example of the reason why it's important for the leadership, the staff, the teachers to be of the demographic that they are serving. Because a lot of what's happening with these expulsions and suspensions could be prevented had they had someone who could relate to them. Now, let's be clear. I'm not necessarily just saying it's all white leadership, because we do have some Oreo kinfolk who don't understand or who are extremely far removed, so much to the point where the children can't relate to them either. But a lot of situations and scenarios could be none. It could be none. It couldn't exist. It wouldn't exist had there been someone in place that the student trusts or could relate to, and they are allowed to de-escalate the situation. I'm not saying that's the situation for everyone. I'm just saying that majority of the time, this is the issue. When I was growing up, I had some prominent Black women who were my teachers. Dr. Onik was my principal at Samuel Morris Middle School. We had Mr. Hooker and Ms. Stafford at Harford Elementary School. We had Ms. Bowden and Ms. Cephas at Juneau High School. Everywhere I went, the majority of the staff and the leadership was people of color. It was Black women and Black men. Mr. Ingram, Ms. Willard, right? Ms. Locklear. There were so many prominent people who, Ms. Pugh, who pulled us in and made sure that they were relatable, that it literally was an open door policy. They had this nurturing spirit where you can tell that you meant something to them and that they love what they do. And they was doing it because they love what they do. That is not the case in today's society. A lot of the reason why our babies are being suspended and expelled, outside of other things that we have discussed before, we know about the beefs, we know about the back and forth, and we know about, you know, the youth. Everybody talks about how the youth don't want to listen, so on and so on. But the adults have to have some accountability in this. And the suspensions and expulsions don't come strictly just from behavior. It comes from somebody making an executive decision saying, hey, we need to suspend or expel this child or this student based on, you know, whatever the case may be. Point in case, there was a situation, if you guys go back through the shows I've done over the past 3 months, I had one of my former students who just graduated, Torian G, on. Torian is 18 now. But when I met Torian, he was 17 years old. He was a senior. By the age of 17, he had been shot at the age of 14, arrested and sent to the juvenile detention facility. He had been through all types of experiences outside of school and in school. A lot of trauma, not based off of being neglected, because he has some great parents. He does. But based off of him just being a young Black male living in the city of Milwaukee. And what happens is a lot of our babies, and I call them babies because no matter how old they are still our babies, right? A lot of our babies go through traumatic situations, and they use obviously weed and other, you know, substances to kind of cope with whatever it is that they're going through. But they don't know that they're going through it. And we just think that they're just smoked out because that's what all these kids do. They're trying to find a way to get out of their head. Not to mention they deal with death a little bit more than we do. So it takes a special type of educator to see something in a student when no one else sees something in them, when all they see is paper, right? And this, again, for context purposes, this is important. When I say we have to have the demographic who we have to have people that look like the demographic that they're serving in these seats, in these positions, because when they look at the paperwork, they're not just going to see numbers. They're not just going to see altercations. We have a way to look under that to try and figure out the core issues at hand. And there was a situation 30 days, literally 31 to be exact, 30 days before he was set to walk across the stage and graduate after being shot at 14, after going to juvenile detention facility, after getting into a fight a month before that, in which he did not start. He ended up having like gummies, like weed gummy wrappers in his book bag. And there was a search conducted, right? Now they claim they smelled it, but I don't know how if it's a gummy, right? And they ended up putting him up for expulsion 30 days, 31 days before he was set to graduate. And it bothered me so much because I'm like, do y'all not understand what's about to happen here? Do you not understand that if you send that boy back out to the streets, that's where he's going to stay? It was a defining moment. And oftentimes, that is the reality, especially when it comes to the young black men in the educational system. It doesn't matter what happens, how many times. All it takes is that one defining moment where they say, you know what? I don't even want to do this no more. I'd rather be out in the streets doing whatever so I don't have to deal with this. So I wrote a letter and I broke down everything that Torian had been through, right? We're talking about a 17-year-old boy who was shot at 14, got the scars to prove it, in the streets, out the streets, in the streets, out the streets, in and out juvenile detention facility, got into an altercation that he didn't start, but it still was an altercation. Then this happened. And you telling me that there's no other solution, right? How hard did he fight to get here, to get 31 days before graduation, his senior year? And he's being put up for expulsion and actually being considered to be expelled. So I wrote a letter. I wrote a letter breaking this down. At some point, the adults in these positions have to hold themselves accountable, because ultimately we are the ones who has the deciding factor on whether or not a child is going to be successful. And what ended up happening is a solution. Hey, how about this? Instead of expelling him 31 days before he walk across the stage, how about we make music that encourages him not to use, or students not to use, substances, something that's uplifting, some type of project, right? And it worked. My letter worked. Me breaking down what would happen if he was expelled and how this could potentially save his life worked. And I didn't do it because of any reason other than the fact that I believed in him and I seen his heart, and he is such a great kid, man. Despite of whatever circumstances he's been through, he is such a great kid. And we ended up doing a project. 30 days later, I'm at the graduation. He walks across the stage. After that, he said, "Miss Jazz, I'm out the way. All I want to do is go to work and stack my money. I don't even want to be in this." Right? He's still going to make whatever type of music he make. But now I'm listening to the lyrics and he like, "Man, I'm tired of being in the streets because I'm tired of bailing all my mans out. I don't even want to pop no pills or do none of that because I can think when I'm sober." This situations like this change the thought process of these babies, when they feel like somebody got they back. Now, obviously, this is not the case for everybody, but majority of the time, a lot of these students, if you pair them with the right person, they will listen. They will listen. There are some students who won't. They're unruly. There's nothing you can do about it. The only way that they'll learn is by being expelled or suspended. But the deciding factor always boils down to someone looking at paperwork, almost like when you go to jail. You're under investigation. An expulsion is nothing other than being under investigation. Hey, we need to take a look at your history and see how many times you've been suspended, how many incidents you have, how many times are you absent, this. No one's saying why. No one is saying what's causing this. They're just looking at the file and then make a decision because it's easy, right? Okay, let's hurry up and expel them because we got a long waiting list of other students that's looking to get inside this school. That is the truth. Let's expel these babies. And I'm not talking about this school in particular. I'm talking about the school system. If it's too much and there's a record, I don't even want to hear the story. Let's just put them in for expulsion. And then we'll just, because we have other families who can fill these seats up faster. And the goal of the school system, Milwaukee public school system, charter schools, private schools, the goals is numbers, data, numbers. That is the reality. We are talking about the discrimination civil rights lawsuit. I'm sorry, not the discrimination, the civil rights lawsuit against Milwaukee public school system. We got to go to break. When we come back, let's finish this conversation. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 1017 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. If you are just now joining us, we are talking about the lawsuit against Milwaukee public school system. Shout out to the chat. Jazz West said, I had a lot of older black teachers and did not play with us, but also taught us old school. Clara Barton Elementary, Mack Middle School, and Rufus King. Yes, indeed. I still talk to my teachers to this day. The only person I'm trying to... Hey, I have a PSA. Before I hop back into this, I am looking for Dr. Rogers Onik. If you went to Morris Middle School, you know exactly who I'm talking about. He was the principal. He was like the principal on Lean on Me, like Morgan Freeman. And he ran that school system. He ran that entire system, a strict program, but it worked. I really, really, really would love to see Dr. Onik. I feel like he is owed a tremendous amount of flowers because he played a huge part in the success of a lot of students, a lot of us in the city of Milwaukee, just based on how he conducted Sammy Morris Middle School. Again, if you are just now joining us, we are talking about the lawsuit that MPS is currently facing. So according to Wisconsin Public Radio, the U.S. Department of Education has launched an investigation into the Milwaukee Public Schools discipline policies. In a statement Tuesday, the department said its Office for Civil Rights has started federal Title VI investigations into whether MPS policy requires staff to take race into consideration during disciplinary decisions. The same announcement said a similar investigation has been launched into policies in the school district in Fayetteville, Arkansas. The announcement comes after new guidance from the department aims to ensure that students are not treated differently based on race, color, or national origin in matters of discipline or otherwise. And it's crazy we're talking about this because it's 2026. In Milwaukee, Wisconsin, education leaders derided facially neutral school policies after reflecting systematic witnesses seemingly encouraging school officials to consider race and disciplinary practices, the federal statement said. About 65,500 students attend MPS. According to the most recent state data, about 48% of students in the district are black, 29% Hispanic or Latino, 9.3% Asian, and 8.7% white. About 81% of students who attended Milwaukee public schools are economically disadvantaged. The Department of Education's new guidance included a Dear Colleague letter, said schools that receive federal funding, they have an obligation under the Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 to treat students equally regardless of the student's race, color, or national origin, including when they administer discipline. That came after President Donald Trump signed an executive order in April of 2025 directing the U.S. Department of Education to issue guidance to local and state school agencies about not engaging in racial discrimination when it comes to discipline. The Trump administration has targeted school diversity, equity, and inclusion programs since he has been in office. Kimberly Ritchie, the department's assistant secretary for civil rights, notified MPS Superintendent Brenda
Caselius.
Thank you, Brother Z. Woo! Of the investigation in a letter Tuesday. A study 4 years ago found black students face disproportionate disciplinary action at MPS. The district also had a past settlement with the officer for civil rights after data from 2011 and 2012 school year showed black students represented 84% of those receiving in-school suspensions, 82% of those receiving out-of-school suspensions, and 85% of the students expelled, when black students at the time made up about 56% of the district's students. So not only has this been happening the past 2 years, but apparently we went through a similar situation in 2011 and 2012. So I just want to reiterate those numbers so that you guys can lock this into your mind when we're talking about how many babies of our black babies this is affecting. In 2011 and 2012, 56% of the students were black. Out of 56% of them, 82% of them were receiving out-of-school suspensions and 85% were expelled. I mean, the numbers don't lie. During the investigation, OCR is neutral. OCR will collect and analyze the evidence it needs in order to make a decision about the district's compliance with Title VI. The Department Office of Civil Rights also started an investigation into the Green Bay Area Public School District last year after a complaint was made regarding discrimination against a white student. That complaint was made by the conservative law firm Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, or WILL. In a Tuesday statement, WILL praised the investigation into MPS. Corey Brewer, deputy counsel for WILL, said the investigation will hopefully uncover the racially discriminatory school discipline policies at MPS. So, again, this isn't new. We have been dealing with this. We've been dealing with this for quite some time. The only difference is the investigation piece, right? I'm interested in figuring out how come it wasn't blasted all over the news as far as the former investigation. So typically when a journalist covers a story like this, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it's prevalent to a pattern. This is the first article that I've seen who had mentioned that this has happened in 2011 and 2012. And I could be wrong. But what I do know is that whether they investigated or not, we the parents know, we the educators know that it happens. And what do we do about it? So I'm not into changing systems that was never meant to benefit us to begin with. That's any system. What I am into is finding solutions that work for us because it's happening to us. And at the end of the day, I'm not only a parent, I'm also an educator. I am one of the educators who don't solely believe in just going to suspension and expulsion as the first solution. And the fact that this has proven majority of the black students in MPS, not once, not twice, I'm eager to go back prior to 2011 to see how many times they have been investigated for this, means that there needs to be some type of accountability. That means that they need to go back and look at every single suspension, every single expulsion for the past 10 to 15 years and see if there are any more biases. It needs to be a full-fledged investigation, not fluff. Why? Because there are so many students, so many young black boys and girls who have been impacted by being expelled or suspended. And if, in fact, there are numerous of situations where your child or someone else's child was suspended or expelled based off them being discriminated against, 9 times out of 10, it plays a part in whether or not they're going to go to college or how successful they'll become. So my call to action is, okay, y'all said this is an investigation. Y'all noticed over the past 2 years, over 100 students. They said it's 65,000. And you telling me that only 100, come on now. You mean only 100 was reported. You mean only 100 was reported, not that it actually happened. We don't want the fluff. We don't want this. We don't want them to skim past this very easily. No, that's not what we're asking. I am saying what needs to happen is they need to go back the past 15 years and really pay attention to expulsions and suspensions and where those students are now. And if indeed those suspensions and expulsions disqualified them from furthering their education. LaRon Taylor says, so when you see these young kids acting up on Water Street or Brady Street at State Fair, you think they started that after high school? I don't know what you're talking about, but we ain't talking about that right now. At the end of the day, there needs to be an investigation much broader than what they're presenting, because far too many times when we're talking about students being discriminated against, this has happened in the Milwaukee public school system. And parents, please listen to me when I tell you. Now, I know that there are students, if you know your child, you know your child. Nobody knows your child better than you. We know that our students, our children, can make stuff up, over-exaggerate, all of the above when it comes to why they got in trouble or whatever the case may be. But sometimes we have to pay attention a little bit more when it comes to situations like this and listen to what they're actually saying. If they're constantly coming to you telling you that there's a specific teacher who consistently targets them, it feels like they're being targeted. Listen to them, because 9 times out of 10, they are. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's coming from a white teacher. It could be coming from black teacher, black leadership, black staff as well. But we should be paying attention to this. This is something that you may have, this is a situation where you may have to take a couple of hours off of work and go up to the school to figure out what exactly is going on. And then begin to talk to other parents to see if it's happening to their students as well. We're talking about the investigation, the civil rights investigation in the Milwaukee public school system. We got to go to break. When we come back, let's finish this conversation. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 1017 The Truth. One on 1.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Looking to discover and support local businesses in our community, then make sure you tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. to Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman for What the Business Is, powered by We Energies. Each week, you'll hear from local business owners as they share what their business is, where they are located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. We Energies is proud to help power local businesses in the communities they serve. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. only on Truth in the Morning with Homa Blow and Bailey Coleman, powered by We Energies, delivering the energy that powers local businesses. Thank y'all so much for tapping in to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. Before we went to break, we were talking about the lawsuit, the civil rights lawsuit against Milwaukee Public Schools. And I was holding the adults accountable because ultimately we make the decisions on whether or not these students are expelled or suspended. And obviously not every student is going to be the student where you have to make some type of decision to say, no, I'm not going to do that. There are some students who are extremely difficult. You know, it's almost impossible to assist, and you just got to do what you got to do. But when we're looking at the numbers, you can't tell me that 86% of these students are deserving of being expelled and suspended. It doesn't make sense. We got a caller on the line. What's up, CC?
What's up, Jazz? So we are here live from the Mary Ryan Boys and Girls Club.
Let's
which
go.
Which is a safe summer site. And I have some of our boys and girls who have been tapping in, watching you live from YouTube, and they just wanted to say hello. So give me a moment.
Okay. Thank you,
Cece.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Thank you so much for tapping in. Who am I speaking with? What's your name?
My name is Faith.
My name is Alicia.
My name is Amayas.
My name is Asisha.
My name is Tyler.
Oh, my gosh.
And we are all here.
You about to make me cry.
Thank you so much for tapping in.
So, hey,
yes,
Faith.
We're learning about the radio.
So, guess what, guys? I will be there to see you guys in about 2 hours. And we're going to have some conversations and we're going to have some fun, okay?
Okay.
We are going to raise them up so that they can begin to be on the radio and speak about these things as well.
Thank you. Black lives matter.
Yes, they do.
I don't support Trump.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
How do you wait? I want to ask them another question. They on a roll.
Let him call.
I want to ask them.
This is
them,
not scripted.
What grades are they in?
Sixth grade.
What school do you?
Fifth.
You going to fifth?
They're on the radio.
And what schools do you guys attend?
Cass Street. I'm going to Hartford. I don't know how to say it.
Hartford. Oh, that's my old elementary.
Yeah.
I went to Hartford Elementary School in my
Cass Street.
I love Cass Street. They have a great principal over there. They have a really, really great principal over there. Yes, Mr. Nichols. Yes. Thank you guys so much for tapping in. Are y'all excited?
Thank you, Jazz.
About what's coming up? Y'all ready?
Y'all ready?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to see you guys at 7:30. Thank you, CC.
Thank you.
Peace. That just made my day. That just made my day. And it goes to show, again, it's not scripted. It goes to show that these kids are extremely intelligent. A fifth and sixth grader, they said, Black Lives Matter and I don't support Trump. Come on now. So you mean to tell me you don't think they understand what we be talking about when we be having these conversations? All you have to do is listen to them. That's it. They're going to tell you what they feel and how they think. And all you have to do is listen. Again, thank you so much, CC, for allowing them to tap in. We're going to have some great events and learning about the radio at the Safe Summer site at Mary Ryan. So if you have any youth who is interested, we will be there. I will be there in person today at 7:30 to work with the youth on how to read commercial scripts. And if they're just interested in radio overall, assisting them with learning how to amplify their voices and utilizing their platforms for conversations like this. So again, thank you so much, CC, for having them tap in. Before we went to break, we were talking about the situation with MPS. And I was saying that obviously we know every student, you know, you can't save. We get it. But at the end of the day, when we are looking at these numbers, there is a huge problem. When we're looking at the numbers, there's a huge problem. Why are the numbers so high when it comes to suspension and being expelled? So I want to talk about the school to prison pipeline. I want to connect this entire show, right, to the school to prison pipeline. That phrase describes policies and practices that pushes students out of educational environments and increases their likelihood of contact with juvenile and criminal legal systems. So it doesn't mean suspended on Monday, incarcerated on Tuesday. We are talking about accumulated risk. We are talking about exclusionary discipline, lost instruction, disengagement, chronic absence, academic failure, dropping out, police contact, juvenile justice, adult criminal justice. Now, not every student follows this path, but when you look at the numbers, you understand why people are studying this. So let's go back to the MPS numbers. Black students were involved in about 54% of disciplinary incidents in 24-25 school year, yet accounted for 78% of suspensions and 86% of expulsions, which means that not only are the black, when it comes to MPS, majority of the students who attend Milwaukee Public Schools are black, but they are also the highest percentage to be expelled and suspended. Right? Now let's zoom out to the Wisconsin youth. So recent Wisconsin public health reporting has shown that black youth are arrested at more than 3.5 times the rate of white youth, while native youth were arrested at nearly 3 times the rate of white youth. Let's zoom out again into adulthood, where Wisconsin's racial incarceration disparities become even more dramatic. So I'm not putting those numbers next to one another and pretending one to prove the other. I'm saying we should be curious about what happens between the numbers. It's always about the numbers. What happens between the child who is repeatedly removed from class and the teenager who becomes disconnected from school? What happens between the teenager who is disconnected and the first police contact? Where were the interventions? Where were the mentors? Where were the mental health support? Not even were, are. Where are the arts? Where are the jobs? Where are the adults who saw something in that child other than a problem? Because if we only become interested in human beings after they enter the criminal legal system, we are arriving extremely late. If school to prison pipeline was never a thing, we wouldn't be researching it. And granted, we see there's a lot of police presence inside of the school system. And I know the first thing y'all going to say is, yeah, because these kids, I get it. I work at a school. Right. Luckily, I'm at a school where it isn't as bad. But you have some schools where students are pulling up with firearms. Parents are acting just as ignorant. Right. There's riots breaking out, huge fights. Some students, you've seen videos on social media of students attacking teachers, all kinds of nonsense. So I get it. But at the same time, in the same breath, are we really conditioning them to become used to the authority of having, in the presence of having, police officers around while they are learning? We're conditioning them. Again, shout out to Big Bro Brad Facts. He was on here the other day. He is someone who was incarcerated from 15 until he was in his mid-30s. He did 17 years. And he was speaking about institutions. When you look at how a school is built, when you look at how a jail is built, when you look at a prison or a college, it's all built the same. It's still a system. It's still an institute. It's still ran similar, right? So imagine being a child. For a lot of us who grew up, we never, ever experienced having officers inside of the school system. Imagine being a child going to school. You have all of these rules and regulations, right? On top of that, there is not a lot of leadership or people or staff around that you can relate to. Not necessarily just with color, but just experiences, right? There isn't really nobody you trust. You may or may not have issues with certain students based off of whatever beef y'all have. Sometimes it's over boys and girls. Sometimes it's because kids get bullied. There are students who are homeless. There's so much happening with so many different families that attend this school. And every day you walk through the hallways and you see a police officer. Then when you walk outside of that school building, because it's in the inner city, more than likely, you're going to see a police officer again. Then when you go home, if you live in the outer city, I said inner city, but y'all know what I mean when I say outer city because we're left out of everything. When you go home in the outer city, you see another police officer. When you're driving down the street in the car with your parents, you see another police officer. I don't know if y'all notice when you travel, but when you go to different cities and states, it almost feels like a relief, even if you aren't doing anything wrong, because I rarely ever see such heavy police presence. And I understand what's happening in the city, and I understand all of that. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is how we're conditioning our babies. We're conditioning them to become immune to that type of authority. That is the reality. We got to go to break. Coming back to research, what do long-term studies actually find out about suspension in school exclusion and later justice system contact? We are separating association from destiny. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 1017 The Truth.
From Memphis, what you know about me? Big G-L-O-N-A-G-L-E. 50,000 new Chanel shopping spree. And every time I pop out, you know I A-T-E. Hey, hey. I'm that
1017 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Before we went to break, we were talking about the school-to-prison pipeline. This all stemmed from a federal civil rights investigation into the Milwaukee public school system, where the 24 through 25 school year investigators have found that over 100 students who are Black were not being treated fairly when it came to suspensions and expulsions. And not only that, they have investigated MPS in 2011 and 2012 for the same reason as well. And I was stating that my call to action would be to open a full investigation. Don't give us the fluff for just 100 people, right? That's just 100 reports. How many times has this happened and it wasn't reported? We need to get to the bottom of it and figure it out, because it matters. So as far as a school-to-prison pipeline, let's stay disciplined with the research, because a lot of people like to say that this is a conspiracy theory. A lot of people don't believe in it. I do. I first learned about it about 15 years ago, and I've been researching it and studying it ever since then, and being in education, depending on public versus charter or private, and which location, meaning which school you're at. More than likely, you will be able to see exactly what I'm talking about when it comes to the school to prison pipeline. So studies have found that young people who experience suspension and expulsion are more likely to later experience arrest, probation, or incarceration. One analysis followed youth after a first suspension and found elevated justice system involvement years later, even after researchers accounted for a large set of characteristics that existed before the suspension. Other research has found that students exposed to schools with higher suspension rates can experience worse educational and criminal justice outcomes later. So what does that mean? That means that even if a child is not being suspended, let's say it's your child, they don't get suspended or expelled, but they're in an environment where their peers are constantly being suspended or expelled, obviously, we know based off common sense that their experience, even, educational wise, is going to be a little bit worse. So When they say other research has found that students exposed to schools with higher suspension rates can experience worse educational and criminal justice outcomes later, to me, this is pointing at the educational piece. This is saying that a lot of times when students are, when the rates are higher for them to be suspended or expelled, is because they lack education, not because they aren't paying attention, not because they don't understand, but because the educational piece overall, the systematic piece that is being taught, is horrible. So suspension does not sentence a child to prison. Race does not sentence a child to prison. Poverty does not sentence a child to prison. And trauma does not sentence a child to prison. Risk is also not destiny, and that matters because the whole point of intervention is that your life can change in the blink of an eye based off of one decision. A counselor can matter, a coach can matter, a teacher can matter, music can matter, a job can matter, a community program can matter. One adult deciding, I'm not giving up on you, can matter. So when we discuss the school to prison pipeline, I don't want us only studying how young people fall into it. I want us asking questions. Where was the exit? Where do we interrupt it? And are we funding those exits with the same urgency that we fund punishment? Are we truly setting our youth and our babies up to be prepared to go to prison by the way of school? When you look at the school lunch that they're being served, we all know, you've heard it a million times, it looks like jail food. When you look at the disciplinary acts, see, now we can't just go based off of ideology or our own thoughts. Now we have actual proof. We have actual evidence and research based off of a federal civil rights investigation. And that is just a small percentage, 100 out of all of the black youth that attend the Milwaukee public school system. That is just a small percentage. That is just a small percentage because not every incident is being reported. Are we setting our babies up for failure? Not us as parents, not us as the community, but the school system. I'm not asking this because I'm slow and I don't understand. I'm saying it's really a statement. It's a question, but it's a statement that we all know the answer to. And the messed up part about it, of it all, is that we don't really have a choice. You have alternative options like private schools as well as charter schools, but they can only hold so many students because of the funding. And then which you are forced to send your children to public school. And this isn't an attack on public schools. These are facts. I come from a public school. I went to public school. My children have been in the public school system as well. But based off of this investigation, it's telling us that something is wrong. Even though we already knew something was wrong, it's telling us now on paper, actual evidence that something is happening. And everybody is just going about their day saying, hey, I got to go to work. I don't have time for it. I don't have nowhere else for them to go. I get it. But at some point, we have to sacrifice a little bit of our time and what we have going on to begin to get to the bottom and ask these questions. Ask your children, even if it's not happening to them. Hey, do you notice this at your school? Have you ever experienced it? Have your friends ever experienced it? I promise you, I have. When I have conversations with my children or with my students, you'd be surprised the information I receive, but you won't know unless you ask. They don't think that we care. They don't think that no one is going to believe them or listen to them, so they rarely ever just come out and say something, right? You have to ask these questions. You have to ask their experience. You have to make sure that they can remember and go back and think about scenarios. And does this happen to you? Like, get the information so that we can get to the bottom of it. The school to prison pipeline, in my opinion, is a real thing, whether y'all want to believe it or not. It indeed is a real thing. And I do believe that there is a system set in place somehow, some way. Why do you think this, Jazz? I mean, look at where we are. We're talking about the whole public school system is funky. It stank. It's failing. The empire is falling. Every year is getting worse and worse and worse. You see it in the news lines, the headlines. You see it when you drop your students off to school. And obviously that is not every school. We know that. It's not every school. It's not every leadership. We understand that. But that doesn't mean that you get to ignore it. It doesn't mean that it's not happening, because it is happening. It's a real thing. And when you add the suspensions and expulsions into the equation, then it starts to make more sense. Then it begins to make more sense. And I know that certain students are targeted because they aren't understood, or because I'm not talking about the students that that's out of control. I'm talking about the students that just need, again, for an adult to say, no, I'm going to intervene and step in because I see something good in you. I want to help you. We got to do a better job. We have to do a better job. If you feel something in your gut that says something ain't right, I'm talking to the youth, please tell your parents, tell an adult, tell somebody. And parents, listen to your children. Sometimes they're not lying when they're talking about they're being treated a certain way or they feel like they're being targeted. Sometimes they are not lying. And children, stop lying so much to the point, or over exaggerating so much to the point that when a real situation happens, nobody's going to believe you because you over exaggerate and you be out here acting a fool in school. This is part of the reason why we need you to act a certain way on your best behavior, so that when real life scenarios that super serious arise, people will believe you. Coming back, the phrase that has followed us since accountability, since 445, accountability is not the same thing as exclusion. What does that principle look like for an 8-year-old? And what does it look like for a 58-year-old? Asking the state to reconsider a sentence. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 1017 The Truth.